Hi, and welcome to Women in Philanthropy. This is a podcast about and by women working in philanthropic giving. Grantmakers, fundraisers, executive directors, researchers, advisors. You can't always see behind the scenes in philanthropic giving, and that means you can't see who enables this giving. My name is Michelle Fugel-Gartner. I'm a philanthropic practitioner and researcher. My doctoral research demonstrated that most of what we know about working in philanthropic giving is told to us through a male point of view. This podcast offers the opportunity to hear from women working in giving. The idea for a podcast was inspired by having dim sum with my friends and talking about our roles in philanthropy, our challenges, and our thoughts. Each 15-minute episode will connect you with a woman in philanthropy. You'll hear about her role, how she got there, and how it enables giving. You'll also hear her thoughts on issues such as worth, negotiation, and influence. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you are a woman working in philanthropy and would like to share your story, please get in touch. And now, our woman in philanthropy. The Women in Philanthropy podcast is generously sponsored by the Voluntary Sector Studies Network. VSSN promotes understanding of the UK voluntary sector through research and provides a voice and a meeting place for voluntary sector researchers in the UK. Membership is invited from academics and practitioners. For more information, look at the website www.vssn.org.uk. Hi, and welcome back to episode 3 of Women in Philanthropy. My name is Michelle Fugel-Gartner, and I'm very excited to be here today with Gosha Brzezinska. She is founder of BB Partners Advisory for Changemakers. So without preempting anything, Gosha, I'd love to hear more about you and what is your role in philanthropy?
Well, thank you, Michelle. And first of all, thank you for having me. What a wonderful company of women in philanthropy. Really privileged to be part of it. My role involves providing strategic communications advice and developing tailored plans for philanthropists and their organizations to help them achieve their goals and maximize the impact of their philanthropic efforts. So hopefully more communication, more impact.
So why communication? Why is that important? I mean, don't just donors give money, and why would that be important to have communication?
Yeah, so many people do just that, and there is nothing wrong about that. And I'm glad to hear about every single philanthropist and every single person who wants to contribute to our society. But the fact is that to get more people contribute, to get people understand and have full awareness of what's happening in a society, we need to have a conversation. We need to lead an interesting discourse on those issues. And communications can play such a huge role in enabling giving and support philanthropists in how they give, who they give to, etc. I've seen it many times over and over again when philanthropists invest in communications and suddenly the awareness of the programs they're doing, the impact of those programs increases because the trust in the programs increases, because interest of even the communities that are receiving potentially support or are being supported by those philanthropists increases as well. So all of that really leads me to believe that communications can have a massive and has a massive effect on the impact of the work philanthropists are doing.
So it's such an interesting area because we think about communications in so many ways. There's advertisement, products and services that we buy. And how did you find your way into communicating for social change? Because it strikes me that there's some complexity with that, with nonprofits doing advertising feeling like they can do advertising or using their overhead for spreading their message. So how did you find that communications for social change was an area or a role to be had?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question because a lot of people, when they think of communications, they think marketing, PR, getting yourself out there. But, for me, it was always about how do we cut through the issues and how do we make sure that the society is able and has access to the information that is shaping our future. And my background in communications for philanthropy and for global development really started in politics and political communications, because it was politics that sparked my fascination with how societies can change. But after being introduced to the world of philanthropy and witnessing the impact of the work being done by philanthropists and their foundations, I knew that communications can really support them and that there is greater use of my skills and my experience in the area. So I've really enjoyed letting myself get into philanthropy, understand what philanthropists are trying to achieve and the impact they have on our societies.
It's fascinating to me that it came from sort of a political background, politics. I'd love to know how that has both informed you, but maybe where you've had to adjust in terms of communications for philanthropy.
You definitely think about, you know, a bigger audience when you think of philanthropic giving, because it has and can have an impact on societies in so many different parts of the world. When working in politics, and I have had the pleasure of working with an MP here in the UK, you know, that pool is obviously big and important because it affects the society we live in. But in a way, it is limited and very much organized by the institution of government. Whereas philanthropy can introduce new ways of working together, partnerships, bringing people who see the same issue in a different way and want to impact and deliver change for the future. I also think that philanthropy has an incredible impact on how politics is being shaped and can help our societies be more equal, more balanced, and give us a sense of understanding that where we live is not the top of the world, and there is the world is bigger than us, and we can influence and support each other no matter where we live.
See, so this is such a great perspective that you have, and I love the way that you're talking about using communications as an equalizer, essentially. Some of the critiques of philanthropy are that philanthropists have louder voices. Maybe philanthropists in the global north have louder voices and more resources. There's been critiques too around the colonial past of philanthropy and sort of that communication perpetuating itself through philanthropy. I'm curious in terms of how you approach your communication with the causes that you work with. How do you see that equalization happening? How is that occurring for you? Are beneficiaries or participants part of the conversation?
It's an interesting and very important debate within philanthropy, because it's all about semantics and our historical knowledge as well, right? We have seen indeed that Western philanthropists are a lot more noticeable and visible in the philanthropic space, and that's not always helpful. I am encouraged though, and by communications and the way we can impact that, and I have seen the change and shift in the last few years where philanthropists from the West want to actually collaborate with philanthropists from other parts of the world, where there is a significant shift from poverty porn, so-called, and getting the images of people who might be the beneficiaries out there, towards actually talking about the successes they achieve when they are in the right setting or when they're supported by the right people.
It brings me to a thought. Well, let me go back a step. I mean, you started talking about that you came in from a political background. Now, how did you actually leap into philanthropy? I mean, it doesn't have to be specific steps, but how did you make that shift?
So I've started working in political communications, which, you know, our industry calls also public affairs, where you represent big companies and you try and get their views in front of the policymakers so that certain things happen. So lobbying and looking at that. And I was working for a big consultancy firm where I've also had an exposure to some of the philanthropic and global development clients and found myself working on one of those projects and absolutely fell in love in the way, you know, we were using similar tools to actually deliver much bigger impact for the society, whether that was increasing funding available, whether that was perhaps changing and driving systems change in certain parts of the world so that there is more equality, so that we can introduce certain setups ourselves or support for others. And in the end, I've kept requesting to be put on more projects that are philanthropy led than the corporate ones, and continued on that path. I've been extremely lucky to be exposed to some of the most incredible philanthropists, and many people probably will think straight away of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And yes, I have worked on those projects, but I've also worked with incredible philanthropists like Mo Ibrahim, who leads the way really in terms of the narrative about how Africa is portrayed and how it shouldn't be portrayed and its power. And I just really love that narrative and thought that that's the right way of positioning it for the future.
Well, you've already started answering my next question, which is, how does this role enable giving? But I'm going to ask you it specifically, because if that sparks anything, how does communications then for you enable giving? And that might be more giving, better giving, more creative giving, more participatory giving. How do you see that?
I think communication plays a critical role in enabling giving. So it's not necessarily that it increases it. It can, if that's the objective, but it really enables giving in several ways. So first of all, it raises awareness. And by using communications, philanthropic organizations or philanthropists or organizations that work in that space can raise awareness about the issues or causes that and the impact that they're making. So it can inspire potential donors to give and encourage them to support the organization's mission, but also it can inspire movements. It can inspire other people who may want to join the movement, who may want to support the cause. And only through that, we can then influence our decision makers and say, this isn't right, we need to change it. It also builds trust. Effective communications can help build trust between donors and philanthropic organizations by sharing transparent information about the organization's activities, about the impact of the donations, about the vision of the philanthropist or vision of the donor. Donors are more likely to feel confident in their decision to give, and organizations who are receiving that can feel a lot more aligned with that vision, and together that that delivers a bigger impact for everybody.
Another major critique is that this sector and its organizations are quite opaque, so it's really hard to see inside what individual philanthropists are doing or institutional philanthropists. To your point, I think communications provides a very good avenue for just sharing what we're doing if we're open to that. I ask all of our participants on the podcast about their perspective on what is an issue in philanthropy that you think needs airing. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
I love that question, and I've listened to answers from your previous guests, and it's fascinating because clearly there is a lot to air, but it's all for greater good, and it will allow us to move forward. And I think one issue that I have noticed, especially in communications, is that media is paying a lot more attention to Western givers, and a lot less to givers from what some may call Global South, others low and middle income countries. And frankly, the dynamic is wrong in that space, because when Western givers are focusing on those low and middle income countries, they're entering space that isn't theirs. And only by working together and collaborating with philanthropists, but also organizations that are on the ground, they can really understand the challenges and issues of societies in those places. So I'm keen to see more interest in philanthropists that are coming from Latin America, Africa, or Asia, and perhaps less obsession with the Western givers, who often, yes, of course, have a lot of interesting things to say and loads to add to the industry, but their giving isn't enough, and we need to see philanthropists from other parts of the world emerge as well.
I think that'd be really powerful. I wonder, what do you think? Do you think that's because philanthropy looks different in different cultures, that we have this idea of what philanthropy looks like from a Western perspective? Media buys into that, but how do we actually characterize who is a philanthropist, maybe in a different culture of giving?
Absolutely. I think the word philanthropist has become a, you know, a job for many. Whereas we know that there are cultures out there, whether we talk about the Middle East or Africa, where giving and philanthropy is a daily habit. You help your family, you help your community, and you give constantly in many different ways, not only financially. And so if we position Western philanthropists as the only people who give, or the only people who have decided that, okay, now, you know, I'm going to put a lot more effort into doing something good for the society, we're completely ignoring massive learnings and knowledge of those who have been doing it for centuries, and where those families, you know, have been supporting each other. I think the other aspect, which is really important, and it's less about communications, but about, you know, the mechanism of giving, is that we all tend to give in US dollars, but often those communities can't use that. So what currency we're giving in is also driving the impact of what we're giving. And we should think about that.
I'm so glad you raised that. I just feel like it's not discussed often enough, especially from a media standpoint and reflecting on the stories that we take in and what sort of bias they already have and what is left out. I feel like we don't question that enough. So thank you for bringing that up. Okay, so we've come to the rapid fire portion. So I hope you've had a minute to think about these answers. But I would love to know your perspective, your thoughts on what is the worst philanthropic jargon.
It will be impact investing, because it creates a completely wrong understanding of what we're trying to achieve here. And of course, we're investing in the future of our societies. But at the end of the day, we're investing in organizations that are delivering change to many people today, not tomorrow.
I love it. It's provocative, but everybody's jargons have been so far. So thank you for continuing that trend. From your point of view, what is the most inspiring philanthropic trend or practice or project or person that you've noticed?
Donor collaboratives. I absolutely love what they do, and especially when they bring together philanthropists from different parts of the world. I can name many here, but all of them are extremely inspiring to me. And hats off to every philanthropist who decided to join a donor collaborative and wants to work with others to achieve greater change.
That's brilliant. I love that too. Do you think, I'm going off on a tangent here, but do you think that's increasing? Do you think that trend is increasing?
I can definitely see that the philanthropic environment and people who work in philanthropy want to see more of that. I think we're yet to be convinced whether most philanthropists are willing to do that, because it requires, you know, a lot of collaboration, a lot of learning and openness to others. So let's see. But I will put my bets that it will be the next big thing for all of us.
Fabulous. All right. And my last question is, what do you think the next needed role in philanthropy is?
There is a greater need for people who understand impact investing, the true real impact investing, where we talk about, you know, funding companies that are actually delivering social enterprise and social change, and philanthropy. I think at the moment, those roles are very separate, and you can either focus on impact investing, where you are building new companies, building new places of work, etc., or you can give. How do we combine the two? I know there will be people out there who are doing it, but I don't think we have nailed what that role looks like just yet.
I have to completely agree with you. I was at an event last week, and it really struck me that providing philanthropic advice is a distinct skill set from providing impact investing advice, even though they blend very closely. And so how are people embodying both spaces, and what are the skills and education and experience that's needed for that? And actually, are they two separate people who actually collaborate really well together? It's a question mark.
And it must happen, because we need to make sure that philanthropy can be sustainable, and that those who are receiving, you know, financial or any other help actually are not relying just on that, but that there is a mechanism that supports sustainable giving. And impact investing can be that. It's just how do we connect the two is really important, because they're driven by very different objectives.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I am going to put a link to Gosha's BB Partners in the comments below. And I'm also going to create a podcast episode sheet where we'll recap what we've talked about and some of Gosha's top resources that she recommends in communication. So thank you everybody for listening. I look forward to hearing from you. Please subscribe to the podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. As well, check out all the links and the resources in the show notes. If you are a woman in philanthropy and would like to share your story, please get in touch. That's all for this episode. See you next time.